Let us turn again to the book of Revelation, to chapter 3, and let us read again at verses 17 and 18. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Well, there are these seven churches to whom the Saviour sent these messages, specifically in the first instance to the angel, the messenger of each of these churches, which we can take as the pastor or the minister of these churches. Some are in a better spiritual condition than others, but the church in Laodicea has fundamental weaknesses, and the Saviour is writing to them as the faithful and true witness. And the Saviour is speaking to people today and churches today as the faithful and true witness. The Saviour is speaking to individuals here. He is speaking to individuals in particular who ought to feel rebuked by their attitude, their words, maybe quietly in their own souls, saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, when they did not realize that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and he gives counsel to them. We can think of the first the second and third adjectives that are used, which are in fact the first two of the negative adjectives, wretched and miserable. We can think of them as general, and the other three following on as more specific. And our three points this evening, it will be these three further adjectives and the corresponding counsel that is given. First, the claim to be rich when in fact they were poor. And they are counseled to buy from the Saviour gold tried in the fire, that they might be truly rich. Then in the second place, they were blind, and they are counseled to anoint their eyes with eye salve, that they might see. And in the third place, they were naked. I should have put these two the other way around. In the second place, they were naked, and they are counseled to buy white raiment, that they might be clothed, and that the shame of their nakedness would not appear. And then in the third place, the blindness and the eye salve that they needed to heal, to treat their blindness. Well, first of all, they were claiming to be rich and increased with goods to have need of nothing. But they needed to buy from Christ gold tried in the fire that they might be rich indeed. Now, we might notice about Laodicea as a city, not merely in a spiritual sense, the church in that city, the church as a body of people professing to follow the Savior, but the city was one of great wealth, and it is suggesting that therefore the church had a feeling of self-confidence. They didn't need help. They had need of nothing. Well, I'm sure we can say that about much of the church of professing to follow Christ today. Yeah, that's the feeling. It is quite self-sufficient. It can go its own way. It can supply its own needs. It's not needing to be altogether dependent upon God. It's not needed to come before God in repentance because of the failings that are manifest to God himself. You see, people can think that all is well, and others looking on from outside might not be able to discern what is wrong. But the Almighty, all-seeing eye of God in heaven, he sees what is wrong. And Christ himself, as the great head of his church, he knows what is wrong in every part of that church. And though people would be speaking very positively about themselves and all that is right with them and how they are able to go on without feeling the need of repentance, without feeling their need to be altogether dependent upon God, they feel that they are rich and increased with goods, that they have need of nothing. And we might see something of the same thing in Hosea's time, in chapter 12 of his prophecy. They had something of that feeling. They were saying, yet I become rich. Chapter 12 it is. Yet I am become rich. I found me out substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. You see, whatever church it might be, there's always need. There's always a continuing need for repentance. There's always a continuing need for dependence. A dependence upon God in everything. And every individual professing to be a follower of Christ, there's that absolute need to be continually dependent on God. There's no room for saying, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I am in need of nothing. We have great needs. We need much. We need God's continuing blessing. We need to be going to him again and again and again. You see, Saul of Tarsus, and years later on, as a prisoner in Rome, and you might say, well, as a prisoner, he had need of much, and he would fully agree with you in that. But he would agree with you in connection with every aspect of his existence. And he looks back with sadness on his past And he says, if any man thinketh that he might have, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, I had these benefits, I had these blessings. And some of them weren't really blessings at all. But, you see, he was circumcised the eighth day. He belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Touching the law, he was a Pharisee, and he was doing very well in the way he was keeping the law. He didn't need grace to keep the law of Moses or the law of the Pharisees. But you see, there was a need. And however confident any one of us might be about how respectable we are or whatever, we need that awakening that Saul of Tarsus was given. We need to go and buy all the supplies that are on offer to sinners. In particular, we need new spiritual riches every day. We need grace every day. We need a continual supply of all the needs of our souls. Yes, and Paul knew that very well, though he could set out what was wrong in his past. Still, he needs the supply of all his needs, you see, today, just as he needed them yesterday, and he would need them tomorrow if he was spared for that. He needs a continuing supply, and so do we. You see, have we Christ? That's the main thing. Have we Christ? Paul speaks of the Ephesians and their past, and he uses that expression without Christ. He uses that expression also without God in the world. And how will we have God as ours, supplying all our needs? As Paul was assuring the Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. There's the answer, by Christ Jesus. That's it. It's through Christ Jesus that God would supply his needs. It's through Christ Jesus, I should have said the, though it was true what I said, it's really, the point really was the needs of the Philippians. My God shall supply all your needs in Philippi. Belonging to the church in Philippi, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For it's Christ Jesus that came into the world to provide for sinners, and to provide a riches which would be available for sinners throughout all generations down to the end of time. Yes, without Christ. And if we are here, and if we are thinking of the blessing that we need from Christ, the blessing that we need. The blessing that we need. And if we are without Christ, how can we get that blessing? How can we get a preparation for heaven? How can we have the riches that we need in our souls? How can we have grace in our souls if we are without Christ, you see? That's the question we need to be asked. Have we the source of all riches? Have we Christ? And we need to be, in a sense, rich if we're going to enter into heaven. Yes. Have we got Christ? Have we found Christ? Have we found ourselves spiritually poor? Have we found ourselves in a state of need? A state of severe need. That we've got nothing. Nothing that will entitle us to enter heaven. Have we found ourselves to be poor, so that we've got to go begging. And it might be something of a disgrace for people in ordinary life to have to beg. Ah, what a good thing it is when a sinner starts to beg. When a sinner starts to go to the throne of grace and say, I am poor, I have nothing. Spiritually, I have nothing. I haven't grace in my soul. I haven't been forgiven. I'm a lost, ruined sinner. But I have needs. The sinner comes to the throne of grace, asking for the supply of his need. The sinner comes asking for forgiveness. The sinner comes asking to be turned from his own way, that the Savior would meet him when his soul passes from this world. And he is still feeling then to be poor. But will we say, blessed? Well, we can just quote it from the Savior's words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who have realized that the great riches they once thought they had didn't amount to anything. It was putting them in a poorer situation than they were. Yes. But you see, if we go to the great distributor of blessings, the great distributor of blessings, do you hear him? Does he sometimes come where you are in the church? Or sometimes come to you when you are sitting with your Bible in your hand or bowing down at the throne of grace? Does the Savior come to you at times at least with words such as these? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And what does the buying signify? Oh, it's a buying without money and without price. It's a buying that is, will we say, advertised in Isaiah 55, when the cry is made, come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. To buy bread, to buy food, to buy everything that we need. And you might say it'll be very expensive. In a way, yes, because of the price that was paid to make it available. The price that Christ made so that there would be the blessings of salvation available for sinners. Yes, Christ had to pay his own blood. He had to pay with his life. Yes. It required the blood of God. Yes. The blood of a person that was God. Paul uses the expression when speaking to the elders from Ephesus. Yes. But the price has been paid, and effort. When we come to the place, as we should come, to the place where Christ is setting forth his wares. Will we put it like that? Christ is setting forth his wares for sinners who should be recognizing their need of spiritual riches, who should be recognizing how poor they are. Yes. He's setting forth his riches. The riches that would make other people rich. And what is he asking? People might shout at some market stall what wares they have, and they might claim that the price is really low. The price is really low. Ah, well, who will say, though? The price is nothing. They're being given away freely. And that's what Christ is saying when he displays his wares. He says, I've got forgiveness for you. I've got redemption for you. I've got faith for you. I've got repentance for you. I've got every grace for you. And I've got heaven for you at last. And does somebody say, can I be sure? Can I be sure what the price really is? And will Christ repeat it? Of course he's been repeating it. How often has he repeated his price in your own hearing over these years? Without money, without price. Come then, sinner, that you might get good for your soul. I counsel thee, he says. And that was true when this letter was written to people in Laodicea, getting on for 2,000 years ago now. But he's still proclaiming his wares. He's still proclaiming the same price. Let me remind you what it is. Without money, without price, come then, sinner. Come to Christ. Ask him for faith. Ask him for repentance. Ask him for all spiritual blessings. Ask him for a passport to heaven at last. It's all free for the needy sinner who needs to realize that his good works will not earn him salvation. Many a person has thought that their good works, their good deeds, it would earn them a passage to heaven. But they need to know that they're really poor, that they've got nothing. Come, buy of me. Oh, we're to go to Christ. We're to go to him as he is revealed in the scripture. Yes, I've been trying to remind you a few times recently about where we're to go, where we're to seek salvation. We're to go to the Word of God. We're to go to the preaching of the Word of God. We're to go to the reading of the Word of God. We're to go to the throne of grace. There's every possibility of meeting with Christ there. And in his hand, he has, will we say, a great fistful of gold. And he's ready to give it. Spiritual blessings, I mean. And he gives it without money and without price. And somebody comes foolishly and he says, here it is, a good price. I will pay for it. See all the good deeds I have done. See how regularly I've been in church and so on. See how kind I have been. But supposing Christ was to take your good works, examine it, look into them carefully, and would he say, was this done out of love to God? Was that good work, that supposed good work, was it done in dependence upon me and on my grace? Yes. You see, nothing that we can bring that would pass with ourselves as good works, good deeds. It cannot pass God's scrutiny. And he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and eat ye that which is good. Yes. Come to me, he is saying. Put away that labor that is just a waste of time. Put away these good works which are imperfect. Yes, do things that are kind. Yes, seek to keep the commandments, but do not do it in your own strength. You need grace. You need strength from me. That's what he is saying. Yes, that's what we need. Let us go to the throne of grace. Even as you are sitting in the pew, go to the throne of grace in the hope of meeting with Christ there. That's your only hope of getting a blessing. Yes, your only hope of getting the supply of your needs when you have nothing to pay. Yes, you don't need anything to pay, but you need Christ. Are you going to go on for another day, another week, another period of time without Christ? Oh, what a fearful thought it should be that we would go on any longer in this world without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world. Yes, when Christ is calling you to come. Now therefore, he says, Proverbs chapter 8, now therefore, hearken unto me, for blessed are they that keep my ways. He's saying, listen, oh, that we would be listening, that you would be listening. Listening by God's grace. See, there's a few things mentioned here that the Savior is willing to sell without money and without price. But you see, there's so many more ways of putting it. And he tells us so very much. Go from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Or at least from Genesis 3 and the fall and the first gospel message. Go from there to the end of Revelation and see if you can notice them all. I have no idea how many there are, but how many offers of salvation. However it is put, there's this attached to it. Perhaps not in the immediate context, but it's there so remarkably in Isaiah 55, without money and without price. Oh, seek grace to put out your hand to receive this gold. Oh, how valuable it is. It's gold tried in the fire. It's been tested. How many have tested it over the generation? John had tested this gold. He had lived in the strength of divine grace for dozens of years. Yes, he must have been getting on in years by the time he got these revelations. But he wasn't any the less needy of daily supplies of grace, of more and more of the gold tried in the fire. It would get him into heaven at last. It would get him through the last years of his pilgrimage in this world. Yes, and however it is with you now, this gold will get you through the rest of your years here, and it will get you into heaven if you have taken it. Yes, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And perhaps we should just go on to the second point, and that is the clothing. Thou knowest not that thou art naked. And so the Savior is saying, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, pure raiment, pure clothing, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Yes, what was the sign of Adam and Eve having fallen from that state of perfection in which they were at the beginning? Well, that they knew that they were naked. They were naked previously, they knew about it, but it was no disgrace. They were perfectly holy. They had perfectly holy hearts. All was well. And the devil came, and he brought them down, and he made them go astray. And they fell in with that, foolishly, sinfully. Yes, and now what is to be said to sinners is, thou art naked, thou art wretched and miserable and naked. Yes. Is that how you still are? Well, do you hear that voice coming from the excellent glory and saying to you, in connection with the preaching of the word, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And how can we think of the shame of our nakedness in this world while we are still without Christ, while we are still a poor and everything else that is said here? What are we to confess that we haven't found that clothing, that white clothing, the righteousness of Christ? Ah, how righteous, how holy, how perfect Adam and Eve were in the beginning, and then they fell. And then the shame of their spiritual nakedness was blatant, especially in the sight of God. He was looking down and he was seeing their spiritual nakedness, and there was this in it, that they were trying to flee from God. God called them. God called Adam. Where art thou? He didn't want to answer. He had no good answer to give. Yes, he was naked. But the Lord made a provision. The Lord gave him skins. He had tried his own, or Adam and Eve together had tried their own way of making a covering for themselves, tying fig leaves together. And I'm sure it's easy to realize how impermanent a covering for a person's body, fig leaves, the stem of one inserted somewhere in another leaf and so on, and they would move around a little or touch a bush or something like that, and their clothing would begin to gape open or fall to the ground. It would fall apart. But you see, there's a better raiment on the market. People might try to shortcut things and try to make a righteousness of their own. We need to hear the voice that is crying from the market of heaven. And how will we go to heaven to get clothing? How will we, were to go to the throne of grace and plead there that the Lord in his mercy would send us a set of spiritual clothing from heaven? And that's guaranteed to be of good quality. That's guaranteed to cover us properly. Ah, how much we need it. We might be called into eternity at any time. Like the man in the Savior's parable, he didn't have the garment that he ought to have done, the wedding garment. He didn't have one. And he should have asked for one. That apparently was the way things were done. You were invited to a wedding and you had to be properly attired, but you could get a wedding garment on your way in if you asked. Oh, have we been asked? Lord, give me the white raiment that is suitable for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Grant me that perfect garment. I need to be clothed. I don't want the shame of my nakedness to appear at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, I'll not get in there. We ought to acknowledge, unless I have this garment. Oh, then, be praying in earnest. You see, how good it would be if there was a meeting. And what I mean is this. A meeting between the sinner and Christ. And Christ is saying, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness should not appear. I counsel thee to buy of me. There's Christ. And how is the sinner to come towards Christ? I am spiritually naked. I do not have that righteousness. And I'm being told that's the gospel message, that there is a wedding garment to be had, and I'm coming to ask for one. See that you'll be asking. If you have any doubt at all that you have not found a wedding garment, that you have not met with Christ, which will be put it like that, a bundle of wedding garments in his hand, ready to hand them out to the soul that is naked and coming to have his nakedness covered. Yes. You see, the meeting between Christ and the sinner, what a blessed thing that is. And when the sinner comes to Christ, Christ is there, we might say, with a pile of wedding garments in his hand, ready to hand them out. But what's meant by the wedding garment? What's meant by the white raiment? It's this, Christ's own righteousness. So that we can appear in the presence of God safely. And if we have that garment on, then the Lord will not say, you're not fit for heaven. If we don't have that wedding garment, the Lord is saying in effect, you can't come in here. You don't have a wedding garment. You don't have the righteousness of Christ. Come then, sinner. Come now. I counsel thee. Are you hearing that? I counsel thee to buy of me. Yes, gold tried in the fire. We've tried to say a little about. Potentially so inadequate in relation to what might be said. But you see, here we are back again and trying to broadcast what Christ is saying to us. Take, sinner, take it. Take it without money and without price. And when the Lord looks at that wedding garment that the sinner has put on by his grace, and he looks at it from head to toe, and he looks at it front and back and sides, will he find a hole? Will he find a black mark? Will he find some inadequacy? Will he find some inadequacy in the righteousness that sinner has that has looked to Christ? Will he find something of that nature? And the answer is no. It's perfect. Come to Christ then. Come to him. How ready he is to distribute it, to distribute what you need, the righteousness that you need. Yes, come to him. And he'll never run out of wedding garments. No sinner would come to Christ and say, I'm sorry. That Christ would say, I'm sorry. There's none left. I've given them all away. Oh, he's got an endless supply of them. Yes. Keep coming then, sinners. Keep coming. Keep coming for a righteousness that will cover all your nakedness, that will cover all your filthiness, that will cover all your carelessness. Come to Christ and all will be well. Yes. And you see, the messengers, the ambassadors of Christ are being sent out to advertise the wares of the King of Heaven. They're to say about Christ, that God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, there's salvation for sinners, a pure salvation, a perfect salvation, a suitable salvation. Yes. Come. Come to the throne of grace. You have every hope of meeting with Christ there, if you will be pleading with him. Yes, who is saying, be ye reconciled to God. Take this wedding garment. It's suitable for you. Take it, put it on by divine grace. Wear it. Wear it for the rest of your lives. Wear it as you, in the end, will pass into eternity. And all will be well. And you will be received to heaven. And the shame of your nakedness will not appear. And then there's the third matter, and that is this, the eyesight. And the warning is, thou art blind, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me eye salve. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that there mayest be. Take the ointment that will heal your eyes. Take the ointment that will heal your spiritual eyes, so that you will see, so that you will see your need, so that you will see what you are lacking, and what Christ has provided for sinners like you. Yes. You see, the Saviour was saying, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. No light coming to you from Christ, if that's how it is. No light. Oh, we need light. We need the light that comes from heaven to light up our paths through this world and our paths out of it. Think of the solemnity of passing out of this world. If we have no eyes to see, if we have no light to light up the way from where we are into eternity, and we cannot see the way to eternal glory, yes, we need these things. And Christ is saying, I counsel thee to buy of me. Come to that shop, as it were, that never runs out of anything. And that's what Christ has opened. He's selling these spiritual goods, and he never runs short. And however many would come, say in a particular Sabbath evening such as this, they're all going to get what they ask for. Yes. They're all going to get what they need. If only they will come to Christ. If only they can come and saying, I have heard the call coming from heaven. I counsel thee to buy of me. The one who died for sinners, that there might be the blessings of salvation to distribute. Come then, sinner. Are you hearing Christ speaking to you particularly? Come to buy from me. Come to receive spiritual blessings. Oh, come. Come. Do not hold back. Do not speak about convenient seasons. Who knows what kind of accident you might have speaking spiritually. If you go on without coming to Christ, it's obvious that blind people may be prone to accidents. There's something on the pavement that they cannot see. And as they walk alone, they're liable to trip, they're liable to slip. All sorts of things might happen. And so it is with a sinner who is determined not to come to Christ yet. And as he goes on, for some days longer, it might well turn out to be some years longer. There's all the danger of in bumping into something, tripping over something, slipping on something, and slipping into a lost eternity. You see, we're to come at the right time. Shops close. And we might even say that the shop of Christ will close. Yes. When is that? Well, we might just say, when he will come the second time, without sin into salvation. There's no more salvation. Never again will the cry go out, I counsel thee to buy of me. I salve that thou mayest see. It's now we need to come to Christ, that we might not slip, that we might not trip, that we might not bump into things that would be dangerous for us. I'm speaking spiritually. What corresponds to these things in life? The dangers that we might run into, the dangers that might knock us to the ground, the spiritual dangers that we are in through neglecting our souls. Yes. But you see, one of the great matters that was prophesied of Christ, it was that he would open the eyes of the blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. You have it in Psalm 146. The Lord opens. Yes. And he gives a balm, a healing balm for the eyes. The work of the Holy Spirit opening the eyes of the blind. Oh, be asking for that. And if you are saying, I cannot believe, I don't know what faith is, what you are saying is, in other words, I cannot see Jesus. I cannot find Jesus. But you see, the Lord doth give the blind their sight. So go to him. Ask him, open my eyes that I might see Jesus. That I might see him. By these eyes of mine, if they would be opened. Yes, are you saying that? The Lord be with you then. The Lord hear you. The Lord give you an answer in peace. And he is ready to do so. He has the power to do so. Nothing is too hard for him. And remember, here is a doctor. And he gives his services without charge. Yes, we have our doctors. Normally we would go to a doctor and expect that he is paid by the government and so on. But that's not always the case, and it's not the case in every country. But you see, in the spiritual sphere of things, we're to go to Christ. He is the one who gives his services free. He gives the Holy Spirit freely. He gives the balm freely. The eye salve, he gives it freely. Yes, so that sinners might see Christ as a suitable Savior, an effective Savior. And so that it would be said, none perish that trust in him. You will never perish if you come to Christ, if you will look to him. Oh, are you saying, my eyes are blind? Well, it's good to find that out. And at the same time to hear Christ say, I counsel thee to buy of me. I saw that thou mayest see. Yes, that we would see Jesus. That we would trust in him by faith, which is what it amounts to. Yes, and that we would come to Christ, about whom it is said in 2 Corinthians 4, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The darkness of our souls, the darkness of our understanding, the darkness of the eyes of our souls. Yes, and the Lord is able to shine bright light through that darkness. And such light as will open the eyes of the blind,
that they might see Christ Jesus, that they might trust in him, that they might see him as the one whom the Father sent to be the Savior of the world. Yes, to give light to them that sit in darkness and under the power of death. There's so much that is said to illustrate these matters. But the critical thing is that we would get light from heaven and the mercy of God for the sake of Christ. Yes. That the light would shine into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as Christ is saying to us, I counsel thee to buy of me the eye salve. That's it. That's the gracious Savior. And will we put something else to it? Christ drawing the sinner to himself. And the sinner, on the other hand, being made willing to come to Christ and becoming able to look to Christ. What a blessed meeting there is between these two things. Christ in the process of saving a sinner, making that sinner willing, drawing that sinner to himself, opening the eyes of that sinner's understanding, opening the eyes of that sinner's soul. And what happens? The light of the glorious gospel of the blessed God shines into that soul, and the soul sees Jesus. There is faith created in that soul. There's a complete transformation. Yes, let us be asking for that and saying, as we have it in Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy word, is what it amounts to. Yes, open my eyes. I need thy work to make me able to see. We need an eye salve. And the Savior is offering it to us. And then, as time goes on, and the sinner has not become able to see, then he asks, you have it in Jeremiah 8, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? That speaks of balm in more general terms, perhaps for physical diseases. But it comes to the same thing if we were to ask, in the light of that, is there no eye salve to be found in the preaching of the word? Is there no physician to apply the eye salve? And obviously, the answer is, there is a physician, there is medicine, there is eye ointment, suited to the needs of the sinner. Then the question, why then is not the heart of the daughter of my people recovered? Why is not the soul eyesight of the sinner recovered who has been hearing the gospel? Why? Oh, there's an unwillingness there to go to Christ, an unwillingness to seek for salvation, to seek earnestly. Yes. And let us notice verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Yes, Christ is knocking at our doors. Christ is knocking with the warnings that there are in his word. Christ is knocking with the free offer of salvation. Come then, sinner. Look to Christ. Come to these places where the Savior appears to give out his wares, to give out his gold, to give out his clothing, his pure clothing, to give out his eye salve. Come then, come to the throne of grace, that you might plead for mercy and get these blessings of salvation purchased for sinners like you. Yes, he is saying, behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You've heard Christ through an ambassador granted knocking at your door this evening. Do not hold back. Come to Christ. Come to him now. He gives the blessings of salvation without money and without price. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. May we feel our need. May we know that thou art able to supply our need according to thy riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. Pardon us all our sin. Deliver us from every evil way. Oh, may we value thy blessings. May we seek earnestly for thy blessings. Grant not to leave any of us to ourselves. Bless little ones, bring them early to thyself, and grant to be doing good. Bless those who are getting older. Grant to visit them in thy mercy before it is too late. And may the gospel go out everywhere. Pardon us and keep us and bless us. Draw us by almighty power and wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.